Yes, welcome on into First Pitch for Tuesday, August 6th, 2024. I am Lindsey Crosby, Braves beat writer for Athlon Sports. He is Christian Rau, managing editor of InsideTheCardinals.com. And not a huge slate of games yesterday, Christian. Some interesting games. We saw the White Sox lose again. We saw Dodgers and the Phillies square off. And let's kind of start there, because Shohei Ohtani hits a home run last night, but he stole a couple bags over the weekend, meaning that he got his first career 30-30 season. And I can't believe he's never had a 30-30 season. But it's the third fastest in baseball history and the fastest by a DH, because he got it in game 108. So, like, just barely missed tying A-Rod by one game. So when you look at what he's doing this year, right? Shohei Ohtani batting 309, 397, 631. It's a 1.28 OPS. It's a 187 OPS plus. He's got 34 homers, 32 stolen bases. Every single one of those stats, other than stolen bases, leads the National League. I'm starting to wonder, should Shohei Ohtani even go back to being a full-time starter? Or is the improvement in production because he's just hitting this year? Or is it because he's on a better team?
Yeah, I think people are going to hate this question. I think you're going to get some haters in this one saying, you know, hey, he's the unicorn. He's the two-way player. We want to see him pitch. But when you look at how great he is at the plate right now, the value of Ohtani, which I didn't know was possible, has increased in 2024. I didn't know it was possible. What we've seen in the past with him and the Angels, obviously it was nice seeing him go to a winning team and do some really exciting things. But what he's doing at the plate, as you mentioned, every single stat is higher. He is his first 30-30 season. It's gotta be impressive. Over the weekend, as you mentioned, when he got those stolen bases, they asked manager Dave Roberts about the whole process. And he said, well, obviously he wasn't going to be a pitcher this year. I'm paraphrasing, but he said it was nice to see his staff and him keeping his body in a good spot so he could use his legs. He was really excited about being able to run free. You obviously knew he was going to hit homers. That stuff at the beginning, saying that he was excited to use his legs, that tells me that he is training and setting up to be just a hitter only. So when he comes back to be a pitcher, that things are going to change. He's not going to want to steal as many bags. He's not going to want to do the things that he's doing right now at the plate. So if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have a good amount of pitchers at the moment, who knows what happens to 2025 and beyond. But if you're the Los Angeles Dodgers, you should be primarily focusing on the Ohtani's plate value. In my opinion, I think it's a good idea to not have him pitch. I do. And I think that if anything, take him out of the rotation, make him a bullpen guy. He's phenomenal at the, on the mound as well, Lindsey, but you got to focus on that plate value. That plate value is outstanding. I think that we are going to be seeing the first guy since Frank Robinson, the only guy since Frank Robinson to win the MVP in both leagues.
Yeah, and the first DH to ever win it. No DH has ever won MVP, simply because you're just not getting any sort of defensive value in the WAR calculation and things like that. Some of that, I think, is evolving perspectives in baseball, right? We better understand the value of some of these amazing hitters. But also, I mean, almost every single stat is up at career highs this year. His on-base is actually the second highest of his career. He finished last year at .412. And the slugging right now is about 20 points below last season's MLB leading .654. But he's played a little outfield in the past. I wonder, I don't think they're going to do it. But no. If you can get Cy Young fourth place finisher Shohei Ohtani like you had in 2022, if you can get that guy back, then he went 15-9 with a 2.33 ERA for the Angels. If you can get that guy back, then yes, he needs to be in the rotation. But if he would be your third or fourth starter, then I think you need to consider maybe we let this dude play outfield We let him maybe come eat out of the bullpen for an inning, you know, in like closing high leverage situations, maybe. But I do think it depends on how good he is as a starter coming off of a second major elbow surgery, a second Tommy John surgery, in this case, the internal brace. Definitely something to think about. Obviously, they're not necessarily going to do that. They're going to say he's going to be a starter. But I do think that, is it worth going back to look at 2022, right? Batted 273 with 34 homers and 11 stolen bases. 273 is good. Is it worth going back to that to let him be, say, a third or fourth starter? I don't know.
You know, the fact that he's a two-way player and arguably probably the best two-way player that we've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
At least in our lifetime. He's probably in the history of the game.
To me, he's the greatest in the history of the game, yeah.
Right. So if that's being the case, he's a two-way player. He's taking up two roster spots at the very minimum.
Technically,
if
you're going, he's not. The way that they structure it, he's technically not taking a spot.
Hear me out. Okay. If he's going to be in the rotation and holding a spot in the batting lineup, at the very minimum, if you're the Dodgers next season when he's going back into the rotation, you got to go with a six-man rotation to at least give him some sort of extended people in the lineup. You know what I'm saying? Like then you can at least focus a little more on that batting value. You see where I'm at?
Yeah. Yeah. I can buy that. And I do think that if you can, there's a lot of stuff to work out here, right? Like they have a lot of outfielders, but they've got guys in the infield who don't have great places to play. Like Max Muncy doesn't have first, doesn't have DH. I do think there's some value to maybe using him in the outfield a little bit to free up the DH spot as well. But either way, question for the future. I'm sure none of this will be decided until he has a chance to pitch and they can kind of see how effective he is in the rotation. Yeah, if ever. he may just come back and just be a Cy Young finalist next year. And this is all moot anyway. Talking about guys coming back off of injury and things like that, the Rangers and Astros started the series last night. So the Texas series here, I'm sure they have a better name for it, but a big rivalry here. These fan bases do not like each other. And really kind of interesting situation here. Rangers losing record right now, 54 and 59. The Astros, 57 and 55. And the Rangers are five games back and in third place in the AL West. Injuries have obviously been a big deal. Tyler Molly is coming back. Max Scherzer just went on the IL. Josh Young has come back. Jacob DeGrom is returning soon. Sometime they're thinking about probably early September. He's going to go on some rehab starts pretty soon. My question is this. Can the Texas Rangers make a run and get back in the postseason? Or are the defending champions going to entirely miss the postseason this year?
Yeah, it's looking like that's the case. It's looking like they're not going to be making the postseason based on, you know, the rest of the American League. And I think some of that has to do with how good the American League, especially the American League Central, has been so far this season. And the fact that the Rangers' injuries have just been too much. They had somewhat of a lackluster trade deadline. Let's be fair. Yeah. I think lackluster is a good term to say.
Agreed.
But I think that they also had to be quite cautious with that trade deadline, Lindsay, because of the injuries that they had coming back, because of the returning players they were hopeful to get. Max Scherzer did come back as well. Now he's going back to the IL, as you mentioned. So I don't think they were in a position, even though they just won it last year and they still have, I think, $1 billion just in their infield alone. I don't think that they were in a position to be buyers at the trade deadline this season, let alone not be sellers. So them holding and just adding small little pieces like Carson Kelly and a couple guys off of waiver wires, I don't really blame them. However, I don't think that's going to be enough to move the needle in this American League. And I do think we're going to be seeing the defending champs watching from the couch this October.
Their schedule has a definite extreme variance quality to it. Like, it's only the 22nd hardest schedule remaining, winning percentage of .492. But they're either playing very good teams or very bad teams, right? They've got 6 against the Yankees, 7 against the Mariners, who are towards the top of their division. You know, it's 3 against the Guardians, 4 against the Twins, and then they get 6 against the A's and 3 against the White Sox and 7 against the Angels, right? So, like, it's extreme variance here. But yeah, there was no place really for them to do any upgrades at the deadline because that infield was pretty much there. Your outfield, you've got the three starting outfielders who play every day, even though Evan Carter's not coming back this year. They're not going to make it, and I think kind of going off of your thought there, I think this is a situation where I don't know if you have more than one wild card out of this division, right? When you look at how they're doing, and I'm waiting for the standings to come up because, of course, it's being slow right now. But, you know, you've got Mariners and Astros neck and neck, Mariners leading, Astros right behind them, Rangers 5 games back. But like you said, I mean, right now, the Twins and Royals in the Central are both playoff teams. And so, you you have the Orioles, Yankees, the team that doesn't win the division there is going to be the top seed. And so it's like, what happens? I don't quite think you see them get in there. But you know what? Let's get into that AL Central real quick. The Royals and the Red Sox squared off. And the Red Sox are sneaking up on that final wildcard spot. I think we talked about this maybe last week. We asked, is there potentially three teams making the postseason from the AL East? Red Sox are a game and a half back. Again, Kansas City holds that last spot at 63-51, and they added at the deadline. Which of these teams is more likely to make the playoffs in your estimation? The Royals or the Red Sox?
That's a tough one, especially, and I don't want to go with the recency bias here because the Red Sox just won the series opener on Monday. However, you got to love what you just saw from James Paxton from the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Him going back to Boston and everything looked really good from his pitch counts and his pitch mix looked really, really good. It's like classic James Paxton again. It's what the Dodgers wanted. They didn't get. He goes to Boston. He goes somewhere comfortable. And it seems like that's exactly what Boston needed. Now, Boston's already had a really good rotation so far this year. They've had a little bit of injuries. They started off with one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. It fell off a little bit. You get a guy like Paxton to do what he's doing right now, then I think the Red Sox are going to be a very tough team to beat coming down the stretch. However, I'm still going to lean to the Kansas City Royals, Lindsay. I still think that team is very interesting, and I like their pieces picked up at the deadline. Bobby Witt Jr. is just absolutely incredible, and their rotation has been sneaky good. Seth Lugo, people aren't talking about him enough. People aren't talking about I can't even remember the names. They're just not thinking about the Royals
and yeah,
Cole Reagans. My God. And then the guy that used to play for the Cardinals. My mind is like Waka. There we go. Michael Waka.
Michael Waka.
There's just so many. There's so many things that this team has, in my opinion, done right. And although they lost the series opener, I think that they're going to be just fine. I do think that this is going to be the first time in quite some time that we have multiple teams from the American League Central, maybe even three, going to the wild card. I think it's going to be that. I don't think it's going to be the East. I think the Central is going to have it this year, which is wild.
Absolutely is wild. I still question whether or not the Twins can keep it going, right? Yeah, but when you look at these two teams, Kansas City has a very tough schedule down the stretch. It is actually the second hardest schedule in baseball as of this morning, only behind Tampa Bay. 529 winning percentage for their opponents. They got some tough series. They have to play the Guardians 7 times. They've got the Yankees for 3, the Phillies for 3, the Twins for 6. But I kind of agree with you that I'm not as scared of the Twins as I think maybe other people would be. And I do think that the star power, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pascantino going off on home runs recently, and that rotation and bullpen, because that bullpen was bad, and they went out and got multiple pieces for it. I do think that the Royals have what it takes to make a run. Boston's schedule isn't super easy. It's 12th hardest. They've got 7 against the Orioles and 4 against the four against the Yankees still. So it's not super easy there either. But to me, it's just, since the All-Star break, the Red Sox pitching a hole has been bad. Third worst ERA in baseball at 5.86 since the All-Star break. In 16 starts, right? It's just, I don't think that I think they're running out of gas. And it feels like, I don't think Jan Paxton's enough either. And so I feel like if any of these teams make it, it's going to be Kansas City. I kind of agree with you there. Kansas City's the one I'm going to pick over Boston for me.
You know, when you look at this American League Central, because although they, right now there's three teams that are going to make it, I'm still really doubtful that that's going to happen just because so many of those teams are playing higher than we've expected. And I'm going to throw Boston into that conversation as well, because I didn't expect them to be in the playoff conversation when we got into mid-August either. But I think if any teams fall off, I think that the one that won't out of the three in the Central is the Royals. I think that that's the team that I am most hopeful for when looking at the stretch. Cleveland, yes, the power's great. The bullpen's great, but they still have questions with the rotation. They still have plenty of questions with the rotation. And then we've mentioned the Twins' rotation's been great as of lately. We just saw what David Festa did. However, how long can they hold it up? So I like,
and how long can they get health out of that big three? Carlos Correa, Royce Lewis, Byron Buxton.
100%, which has been an issue all season long. So there is a possibility where we do see the Royals and the Red Sox make the postseason. I do think that's the case. And if that is the reason, it's because one or even two of those American League Central teams fall off.
Real quick, second best run differential in the American League, Kansas City Royals, plus 91. Better than Cleveland.
Love that stat.
Better than Baltimore.
I gotta love run differential when you're trying to sort out teams that are really close, especially teams like they're in the same division. So that doesn't say too much, but that says enough to keep you tracking. So I like that.
Yep. All right, let's get into quick pitch. A couple rapid fire topics here. First one, minor league update. The Chicago Cubs, one of the best farm systems in baseball, promote three players to AAA. Shortstop Matt Shaw, second baseman James Triantos, outfielder Kevin Alcantara. Which of these three makes the majors first?
Ooh, I like that. I think that we're going to see all of them in 2025, but I think we're going to see Matt Shaw get a cup of coffee before the season's over. I went and did his stats writing for an article for Inside the Cubs last night. I did not know he already had 14 homers, 50 RBIs, and 25 stolen bases for the Smokies. I really like him. 41st best baseball player among Baseball America right now. Give me a cup of coffee of Matt Shaw this year.
I think the hard part here is that all of these guys are blocked at the major league level, right? I mean, you've got Nico Horner at second. You've got Dansby Swanson at short. You just went out and got Isaac Paredes for third. Obviously, first base is handled with Michael Bush. And you have a ton of outfielders available with Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki and Pete Crow Armstrong and Cody Bellinger and things like that. But I do agree. They find a way to get Matt Shaw some time at the majors. I don't quite know if they're going to need an injury to do it, if he's just the expanded roster call up when September starts. But Shaw feels like the one they want to see. What can he do? What does he need to work on in the offseason to hit the ground running in 2025? Because of the three of these guys, him being successful, it to me feels like that's the biggest criteria needed for them to have a better year next season, because Dansby Swanson missed time. I think Nico Horner missed a little bit of time. And then Dansby had some offensive struggles as well. They need Shaw to be capable of stepping in the lineup and producing every day. So I think he's the one that gets called up. Moving from the Central to the West, Arizona Diamondbacks lose Gabriel Moreno last night to a groin injury. He's going to go on the IL. Christopher Walker already on the IL. And since Moreno came off the IL from his thumb injury, he's been really good. 86 plate appearances, 329, 384, 582. When you subtract Gabriel Moreno's defense and his offense from this Diamondbacks lineup, does this mean that they're going to miss the postseason for the NL West? Can they hold off the Padres for a wild card spot without Gabriel Moreno?
Losing a guy like Christian Walker was already tough. Now losing a guy like Moreno is even worse because of the depth behind him. We were looking at the roster before we started the show today, and Jose Herrera is the only other catcher on the active roster right now, career 209 hitter. And then you look at the minor league depth behind him, doesn't look that great either. I think you got to go out and get somebody on the waiver wire, because you can't make a trade for somebody. First one that comes to my mind, the guy that was released in June by the Cubs, Yan Gomes. Go get Yan Gomes. Maybe that'll help. Not a great offensive guy, but he can at least help run your pitching staff. But I think that this could be catastrophic for the Diamondbacks, because there's just nobody that can hold that position the way that Moreno has.
Yeah, I mean, the upside to the Christian Walker injury is when it happened, right? They were able to go make a deal for Josh Bell of the Marlins to give them some competence at first base. And your two AAA backups here have a combined 4 days of service time in the majors. And so, yeah, you've got to go out and do something. Don't know if Yan Gomes is the answer, but there's nothing else right now. And so bad timing for this. You hope they can do it. I feel like you can find enough offense where you don't miss him that much. The bigger issue is the defense. He's a really good defensive catcher. And in retrospect, that deal looks phenomenal for them as far as getting Lourdes Gurriel and getting him. And yes, you give up Dalton Varsho, but you got some impact pieces there. Last one here, kind of a fun one. Jesus Sanchez of the Miami Marlins is not going quietly, right? Miami trades a bunch of pieces away at the deadline. But last night, he hits a 480-foot homer against the Cincinnati Reds at home. Longest home run of the year in Major League Baseball. And one, I didn't realize that. But two, I want you to guess the previous longest home run of the season. Not the distance, just tell me the player previous longest home run of the season.
I guess I gotta go with Aaron Judge, right? I think I saw somewhere where he hit like 470 last week or something like that. So Judge,
August 2nd against the Blue Jays, he went 476 feet. That is now third. So that was not the longest. That was the second longest. Now the third longest behind him twice. Shohei Ohtani, 476 and 473. But the longest one of the year is a guy who was traded, actually. Jorge Soler, July 21st in Colorado, sent one 478 feet. Ooh. So, yes, two of the five longest home runs have both been in Colorado this season, between Ohtani going 476 and Soler going 478. But now Jesus Sanchez, 480. He did it in Miami. He didn't do it in Colorado. He didn't have elevation. He didn't have wind. He did it in a closed stadium in Miami. So, Jesus Sanchez, again, not going quietly. He's only batting like 241 this year. He's got 12 home runs and like 100 games. But when he gets into one, sorry, Jacob Junis, he can get into one.
Miami Lone Depot Park is one of the most friendly parks in all of baseball. One of the lowest park factors in all of baseball. So really cool that he hit 480 in that. But I didn't know that about Soler. I would assume Judge. That just makes I feel like that's the most common answer. But
yeah,
you know, and one last thing before we close out, I did see on socials about Sanchez that the person who caught his ball was actually on a flight delay. That's the only reason they went to the game is because their flight got delayed. So they got to catch the longest home run of the season, and they got to meet Jesus Sanchez for him and their family. Thought that was pretty cool.
I always love when the guys, and like the teams have gotten much better about this, right? About they'll find the person who got the ball. They'll get a chance to meet the player. They always give them some cool stuff, give a chance to meet him, a photo opportunity and all that to get the ball back. I love that teams have gotten much better about, you can't go start strong arm these people. You got to go. You know, be nice to them, and they'll give it back if you ask. And you know, you give them a chance to meet the player who hit it. Almost always works. Some interesting matchups today. Eduardo Rodriguez comes back for the Diamondbacks. Real quick before we go, do you think that makes an impact down the stretch, or has he been just too hurt to be effective this season?
I think it's got to make an impact, especially since losing Moreno. Having him back, it sucks that they're not going to have their catcher of the future to run that pitching staff, but I think it absolutely has to make an impact, and it has to make an impact right away. So big start for Rodriguez.
This has been First Pitch for Tuesday, August 6th. I'm Lindsey Crosby. He's Christian Rau. Do us a favor, if you're watching on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel. If you're on audio, leave us a 5-star review. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.